1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
President Reagan lies in state at the in the Capitol Rotunda right now, and there are some 150,000 people either waiting in line or people who have gone through the line to see the bier and casket of President Reagan. And by the way, a bier or a bier is the stand upon which the casket rests, if you've heard us use that term. And I've even got a friend of mine standing in line in Washington right now, Dave Katz, or shall we say David Katz, is my friend. He's on the Capitol Mall right now. I just talked to David. He figures he's got another 10 hours standing in line waiting to view the president's casket. And when I say friend, he's actually my agent in New York City. But I guess I identify him as my agent because he's doing a very un-agent-like thing. He's waiting in a line for 10 freaking hours to see something, and most agents would be throwing a fit right about now, having to wait in line for anything. In the meantime, I have Doug Danger with me. He is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. And during these days, as we reflect on President Reagan, we reflect upon the enormous popularity of his presidency. You, Doug, have been involved in a project, or were involved in a project over the 3 days following the president's death to kind of determine his popularity, correct?
Phil, that's exactly right. And thank you, first of all, for having me on your program to comment on this enormous historical event.
You're welcome, and it's good to have you.
The death of President Reagan, first of all, I want to identify myself. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and as such, and I've been out now and very out and very proud now for almost 18 months, and so the things I've seen as a gay man and a gay journalist, you're able to input the truth, I think, better than most people. And the death of President Reagan brought to mind for me his enormous popularity during his presidency, and I wanted to get a sense if he was still as popular.
All right, what did you do?
Well, I decided that I would just canvass average people coming and going from a couple of malls in the Orange County, California area. One of them is a place called the Block at Orange, and the other is the Fashion Island in Newport Beach. And I wanted to talk with people who did actively vote during the Reagan years when he was president.
So you would then have been talking to perhaps older people, right?
That's correct. Now, one other thing to keep in mind, Phil, I am a gay man and I'm a gay journalist, and I've been out for almost 19 months, and so I've been I've seen a lot in the way of change, but as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I think I perceive truthfulness with a little more clarity, because if you think about gay people, we've had to deal with a lot of deception in our lives.
So you conducted this survey over a three-day period?
That's correct, right after he died, and here are my results. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, a clear, and this is surprising. This is very surprising in a very conservative area like Orange County. A clear 70% surprisingly had a negative view.
Really?
Absolutely, of the Reagan presidency, compared with 30% who were favorable.
In Orange, which is a very conservative area down there in Orange County.
Well, I didn't just ask them, did you like the Reagan presidency or not? I put it in context, and that's the thing that never happens when you ask these poll questions. You don't put them, it's never put in context. I would ask the question, how did you view the Reagan presidency, positively or negatively? And they would respond at first, and this is what was interesting. They responded, well, he was a very great president, and we think was very positive. And then I would put the question into proper perspective. And I would then say, well, what do you think of Reagan presidency? It's very positive. They say, yeah, well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now what do you think about it? And I would tell them, and I would just tell them to look me in the eye and tell me. And then they would suddenly get honest. And that was fascinating. They would say, well, in a lot of ways, he wasn't that great.
All right, well, why do you consider that honest? I mean, you told them that you were gay.
I told them I was a gay man and a gay journalist, and suddenly they'd reflect on really a very unfortunate aspect, and I'm sure everybody out there agrees, of the Reagan presidency. And believe me, Phil, I was a very big supporter of President Reagan, but it is true that while he was president, AIDS spread like wildfire.
And why do you say that? I mean,
well, he didn't really do much about it at the time, but then he eventually did, and I supported him.
So you put his presidency into the context of his position on gay people.
Well, but I do it in a way that I want to get honest answers. All right, that's all I'm looking for.
So you approach people.
And remember, Phil, these are people who were of voting age when Reagan was president. And
all right, but you would approach these people and you'd say, okay, how'd you view Ronald Reagan? And they would say one thing or the other. And say, well, I'm also gay. Now, how do you respond?
Well, let me give it to you. I saw a gentleman and his wife come out of a See's candy store over here at the block at Orange. And it's great to see a couple of people in what looked like their 60s, and he's still buying her candy. And I walked up to them, and I said, excuse me, sir, can you tell me how did you view the Reagan presidency, in a positive or negative way? Now, his initial response, when he wasn't really thinking about the question, was, I think President Reagan was the greatest of all of our presidents. And then I again, Phil, and perspective is important, and I said to him, is that right? I said, well, I'm gay. Now what do you think about it? And he said, well, and he still said, I think he was great. And I said, oh, is that right? And I locked his gaze for a good 7 or 8 seconds, because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. There's something in our community we call gay intensity. You get the truth out of someone real easy if you're gay and you just lock their vision. But he still said he admired President Reagan. And then I said, thanks very much, and I moved on. So you had those responses. And
all right, but I want to ask you about that man, because there was a letter to the L.A. Times.
Well, I saw that letter.
All right, hold on. Let me give our phone number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger is with us, journalist who did a poll this past weekend. Was Reagan really that popular? 70% said no. 70% were negative on the Reagan presidency. There's a gentleman by the name of Warren Petransky who wrote to the L.A. Times, which I know is not your paper, but he said that after, and he described your encounter, after you had asked the question, he says, numerous times, by the way, that you grabbed some kind of a walking stick he had, and in his words, Janice, where's the letter? Here it is. You threw it across the parking lot.
All right, first of all, this man has wrote that letter to the L.A. Times because he knows that my career goals include someday working at the L.A. Times, so it's an attempt to slander me to those people.
Well, did you attempt to intimidate this man into answering the question in a negative way?
No, I most certainly did not, Phil. No, I consider your question to be just a little bit homophobic.
Why is that homophobic?
Because you're blaming me for someone trying to intimidate me. For all you know, that man was attempting to assault me with that cane. Now, one of the...
Well, look, he said...
Phil, I'm a gay man. Let me just explain. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. My job is to simply get a truthful response. And I just want to make sure, when he said he supported President Reagan...
Well, if he said he supported President Reagan, why don't you just leave it at that?
Because I want an honest answer. And I get a little disturbed that he wasn't really thinking about the question. And I get disturbed, so I remember I said, you support President Reagan? He said, yeah. And I said, yeah, well, I'm gay. Now how much do you support him? And he said, well, I still do. Now I'm thinking he isn't really thinking about my question, and I wanted to get him to, as they say in baseball, bear down and really focus. And he had this cane that he was swinging back and forth, and I was a little bit apprehensive. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I've been out for 18 months. I know what gay bashing is. You don't have to describe it to me.
But Doug, you can't honestly think that some elderly man with a box of candies and his wife is going to beat you with his cane. I mean...
The question was, what do you think about Reagan? Is that the question?
Yeah.
He said, I didn't like him. He said, I did like him. I said, yeah, I'm gay. Now what do you think about him? Now the guy still says he likes him, and he's swinging the cane. All I did was I grabbed the cane from him, and I remember I threw it under a truck that was parked out in front of, I think it was the Hungry Tiger. That's all I did. And then I said, so now how do you feel about Reagan? And he said, actually, he was not very fair to gays, and he shook my hand. And he apologized for not considering the question. That's all I'm trying to do. That's not...
All right, if I may recap...
Remember, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, it is important for me, because I've been out for a good 18 months looking at how gay bashing... And you know, Reagan was a great man. And I don't want to keep hounding on the fact that when he was president, AIDS became a worldwide epidemic. I just want...
Now, hold on for a minute. You have determined, therefore, that in one of the most conservative areas of America, President Reagan was not as popular as you think. But I maintain your question was a little bit loaded.
Not at all, Phil. Look, I'm gay, and it's very, very hard to lie to me because of what we call gay intensity and something in our community we call homo-eye or gay-eye, which allows you to cut through the BS. You don't lie to me and think you're just going to walk away with your chocolate swinging your cane on your finger. Okay, so what I said to this man was this.
All right.
What did you think of the Reagan presidency? I thought it was great. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm gay. Now what do you think about it? Now he gets to think about it. Well, the fact is, President Reagan was a great man, but while he was president, AIDS spread into every corner of America like almost a syphilitic nightmare. And then, well, you know, he wasn't all that great. And so...
What did you... You were a supporter of President Reagan.
Absolutely. I was a log cabin Republican. Still am.
But you know, when he was president, AIDS spread like a syphilitic...
Well, I don't want to harp on that. I'm just saying, you know, when you say to somebody, what do you think of Reagan? Well, he's great. Well, yeah, well, I'm gay. Now what do you think? Now they start to, well, you know, he wasn't all that great when it came to gay folks because I don't know how many millions died while Reagan was president, you know, while he was... And he was a great man, and he did so many great things. But when it came to millions and millions and millions, and it probably reaches into the hundreds of millions of gay people who died, he was taking a nap. And that's all I want to say.
So, but that's a loaded question, Doug.
How's that look? Look, I'm gay. And
no, it's a loaded question. Say, hey, do you like President Reagan? Yeah. Well, you know, when he was president, a lot of gay people died.
I didn't say that, did I?
Well, you're saying, well, I'm gay, now what do you think about it? I guess that's what you're saying. When he was president, a lot of gay people died.
No, all I said was, I'm gay, now what do you think? Look, they're not going to lie to me. Because if I'm honest enough to say I'm gay, now what do you think about it? Now they're feeling a little intimidated, and they know they've got to be truthful.
All right, well, the poll comes out 70% in Orange County, California, and I suspect across the country, 70% didn't view Reagan positively. Doug Danger joins me, entertainment writer of the Orange County Courier. He is a gay man, gay journalist in the sense that he's been out and writes from the perspective of gay intensity. And he has said, basically, that once he puts the question to people, what do you think of Reagan? Well, I like them. Well, yeah, I'm gay. That they begin to consider the question more seriously, and most people didn't think he had a great presidency. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And like I said, later on, we're going to talk to David in line there on the Capitol Mall and some other Reagan features, in addition to a brand-new feature called The Follow-Up. Tonight, Vernon Dozier on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
How do you know Rosie O'Donnell hasn't eaten my children? Have you seen them lately?
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Because I'm gay. And because I'm gay.
All right, but I want to get back to the program. Doug Danger is with us here. He is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. He did a poll this past weekend locally in one of the most conservative areas of America, Orange County, California.
What they call the OC on television.
What they call the OC on TV. The OC is actually Orange County. And
it's a very conservative area. There's no doubt about it, Phil. But it's interesting. There's a reason why Orange County is spotlighted on television as the very popular show, The O.C. The people there are real people, and once you kind of lock their eyes and get them to quit fantasizing about, you know, what champagne they want to buy or what surfboard they're going to buy or whatever they do down there, and say, look, I asked you a serious question, now I want a serious answer. What do you think about Reagan? I'm gay. And they'll suddenly say, you know what, he actually dropped the ball on a few things. And see, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I've been interviewing people for a long time, and I found that most people who answer right away aren't usually telling the truth. This is why what I'm doing to help them get to the truth is just saying to them, it's almost like saying, I'm gay. Do you honestly think you're going to lie to me? And then the truth comes out.
Are you going to have to explain to me why lying to a gay guy is...
Because... Well, I have tried it.
Let me get to a phone call. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Tammy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Doug Danger on the Reagan survey. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi. I'd like to ask Doug the exact same thing you just did. I don't understand why he believes that as a gay man and a gay journalist, which he has indicated, you know, many, many times in the last few minutes, that makes any difference in anyone's response to him. Why does that make someone... give him a different or a more truthful answer? That makes absolutely no sense.
Well, if you've got a problem with my homosexuality, that's something you need to look into yourself about. Well, you take an exception to the fact that I point out I'm a very proud gay man and gay journalist.
Well, that's
all of a sudden you've got a problem with that?
Fabulous. Oh, my goodness, no. I think that's
fabulous. Well, then why'd you bring that up?
because you keep repeating it over and over. It has nothing to do with your poll that
you were asking. Well, no. All I'm saying is I'm gay. President Reagan was one of, in my opinion, you asked me, he was one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. But it is true that when he was president, billions of people just, eroded physically from AIDS. Now, that should not affect anybody's response. I just wanted to give it perspective. So,
yeah, but when you asked that old man, Reagan, what'd you think of him? And he goes, I liked him. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm a gay man. Now what do you think of him?
Right.
Exactly. That's what I don't understand. It makes...
What?
If you were to have asked me that question,
yeah.
I happen to have liked Reagan extremely.
Yes.
But if you had asked me that question, I would ask you right back, what does that have to do with my answer?
Well, let me explain. My road is a lot tougher than your road because I'm gay. How I live is a lot tougher than how you live because I'm gay. So the last thing I need is people lying to me because I'm a gay man. I've already had it tough enough. Why are you going to make it tougher on me by lying to me? You know I'm gay, right?
That's the whole point.
No, you know.
I'm sorry?
You know I'm gay, right?
Yes.
She knows you're gay, man. I know you're gay.
But your questions, Phil, had a decidedly homophobic tone because you began to take exception to me identifying myself as a gay man, as a gay journalist.
But my point is, why should that make any bit of difference with someone's response?
Because once they know they're talking to a gay man and a gay journalist, they can't get away with their usual lies.
Why? Why do you say that?
You're not going to lie to me. I'm gay.
Why would I? What does that
mean? You're
going to
lie to a gay man because you're going to try to lie to me and say, oh, Reagan was great until I pin you to the corner and I say, yeah, but Reagan murdered Sal. I mean, he didn't murder.
Boy, that's a strong word.
Well, he didn't murder, but he let a lot of people die because he was busy, you know, fooling around with Nancy, whatever he did. And there were a whole lot of gay folks.
You know, for a guy that supports Reagan, that's pretty brutal.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense because Joe Schmo could say the exact same thing, and he's not gay.
If I lock eyes with you, I have a gay intensity. It'll be impossible for you to lie.
So everybody that initially...
You know what? That's complete crap.
No, ma'am.
Complete crap.
So your homophobia just keeps coming out.
You know what? My best friend is gay, so do not tell me that I'm homophobic.
Some of my best friends are black. Yeah, I've heard that before, but look...
You know what?
You know...
Get off your horse.
Ma'am,
you're wrong.
Ma'am,
that makes no sense whatsoever.
My gay intensity... So you don't believe in gay intensity?
No, that's crap.
Boy, you are a real... Let me ask you, have you beaten up any gays lately, or have you taken a week off?
Doug, that is unfair to say that.
That is so uncalled for.
I said that I've got gay eye. I've got gay eye. Now, you know I'm gay. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I know.
I got that, man.
20 times.
When you say you've got gay...
Everybody listening has heard that.
You and your friends kiss after you have a couple of glasses of white wine, okay? And that's fine if you're a lesbian, but you don't know how hard it is to be a gay man.
But what... My point, sir...
When you're making out with your best friend...
What does that have to do with the poll you took? Why is it insistent upon you to say... that I am gay, so I'm going to get a different answer out of you.
No, I'm getting the truthful answer. See, that's
no,
where you keep
what?
Getting to the point.
No,
that's where you keep
that makes no sense.
You call gay intensity crap. You call homo eye crap. I don't know what to tell you.
No, you're so out of it.
No, ma'am, I'm not out of it. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. How am I out of it? What are you doing? Look, why don't you tell you what? Go peruse, Lord and Taylor's one more time. They might have your shoes in by now.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
I don't think the lady's taking this question seriously.
I'm not taking what seriously?
All right, look at Tammy. We got to take a break. He was saying you're not taking the question seriously, but I believe you most certainly have. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger, the Orange County Courier, because he's got gay eye. He knows when people are lying, and he says that when people say they supported the Reagan presidency, they're lying. He asks them again and says, I'm gay. Now how do you think? And suddenly they say, no, we didn't support it. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You talk about gay eye, Doug. What do you mean? We're with Doug Danger, who's with the Orange County Courier.
What I'm talking about.
Let me reset, though. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Doug did a survey over the days following President Reagan's death, asking people, did you feel President Reagan was a great president or not? You feel that they gave you honest answers when 70% of them said they didn't. Well, this is after you described yourself as a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, it's not a description of who I am, Phil.
All right, but this gay eye thing...
I'll give you an example. I first discovered gay intensity. You can talk to any gay person. They can tell you that after the years of discrimination that we've been through and the suffering that we've been through, it's difficult to put one over on a gay man and a gay... I like to say it's tough to put one over on a gay man and a gay journalist, but I'm sure it's true about, the dykes or you lesbians or whatever. I came out of the closet. I was on jury duty. We were on a hung jury, and I looked at each and every one of my fellow jurors with real serious gay intensity. And you know what? That guy is in federal lockup now for 7 years because I gave him what I like to call and what a lot of people in our community call. I gave him the gay eye. I gave him the homo eye, and they won't lie to you now. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, so I walk up to somebody, what'd you think of Ronald Reagan? Well, I liked him. Really? Well, I'm gay. Now tell me what you think about him. See, all of a sudden they realize that Reagan, he was a great man, but while he was president, unfortunately, very tragically, AIDS spread like an oil fire. It's a tough thing.
All right, 1-800-449-AIDS spread like an oil fire. Good Lord.
Are you trying to tell me it wasn't?
Well, I think that hanging it all on Ronald Reagan...
See, that's the veiled homophobia, Phil.
That's not homophobia, for God's sake. How long have you known me, anyway? I'm going to ask you a direct question, and I'll say to you, to hang it all on Ronald Reagan...
AIDS spread like somebody threw a match into a can of 4-in-1, and you're trying to tell me Reagan didn't have anything to do with that. I loved Ronald Reagan. I honor Ronald Reagan. I wish I was in Washington right now to view his casket and to honor him. It just so happens, coincidentally, that while he was president, AIDS became an international epidemic, the likes of which we hadn't seen since biblical times. So I'm simply saying...
All right, let me get to a phone call here. 1-800-449-8686. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger.
Hi. I'm a gay man. I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm enjoying the program, but this sounds to me more like self-promotion than journalism. Never in my life heard of the gay eye or gay intensity. People will lie to me or any other gay person just as easily as anyone else.
Where do you live, sir?
I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Well, I'm talking really the gay communities here in Los Angeles, West Hollywood, Fillmore, San Francisco, the Village. Gay eye has been, homo eye has been well known. You're gay?
Yes.
All right, you know I'm gay, right?
I couldn't escape it.
I'm sorry, but I'm just, so many people don't want us to... And you've never heard of homo eye?
Well, what...
No.
What does homo eye mean? That there has been so much...
What it means is, Phil, that...
That there's been so much suffering among gay people that they have a better view of the truth?
Absolutely. Now, I walk up to some old man with his wife, and he's buying her chocolates... And he's trying for all the world to appear like a very benign individual. I say, what'd you think of Reagan? And he says Reagan was a great president. Right there, I find out that this man's got a little bit of, homophobia going on. So I say to him, oh, yeah? Well, I'm gay. Now what do you think about it?
Well, you not only said to him, well, I'm gay, you grabbed his cane, threw it under a truck.
No, I did not, and I explained that.
It does become a loaded question, though, when you... ask him to redefine his decision as to whether or not Reagan was a good president based on the fact that it's a gay person asking him.
Well, look, first of all, homo eyes developed approximately 6 months to a year after coming out of the closet. Gay intensity can start within the week of coming out. How long have you been out?
32 years.
Well, I submit to you, Tom, that you do have probably a well-developed homo eye, but you don't really... What do you do for a living? I'll tell you right now, I know that you are successful at what you do, correct?
I'm an accountant.
And you're successful at it, aren't you?
Yes.
Absolutely. Why?
But people lie to me.
Well, Not about the important stuff. People don't lie to you about money, I'll tell you that right now. And the gay intensity, see, with your homo eye...
Will you get out of here with homo eye, man? Because I don't know what it is, necessarily, to say...
Phil, look, I've known you for how long? 15 years?
Yeah.
Your homophobia... And
that's unfair to say that I'm homophobic, man.
I think if he was homophobic, you probably wouldn't be on the program.
Oh, no, Mr. Henry knows which side of the bread the butter's on. He has on all interesting kind of people and so... But, Tom, I would submit, and I say this with the greatest respect to you, I think you're a very successful man. You probably have got a very... Maybe you've got a contact lens in it, but you've got homo eye. Maybe homo eye with...
Homo eye with a contact lens.
What I'm trying to say is this, and we're way off of the Reagan subject.
I want to get back on the Reagan subject, because I think that's important, but you're couching everything in the fact that you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
Look, first of all, I want to make clear that I'm gay. And
yes, I understand that.
And that I'm a gay journalist. And working for the Orange County Courier... And I'd love to someday work for one of the great bastions of journalism, the Los Angeles Times, where so many of the writers there who are, you know, Robert Scheer, who are full-out homosexuals. I just being with those guys, they know what homo eye is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, on to Edward. Edward, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
I'm just irate. I cannot believe that you would even allow this journalist so-called on the air. He's sitting here, and yet I'm going to talk directly to you. Are you listening to me? I want you to listen very clearly. I'm a man who have plenty of gay friends. I am straight. I'm not homophobic in any way. I've seen the troubles and trials that my friends had to go through.
Wait a second. When you say you've got gay friends, do they come over to the house? Do you socialize with them?
They sure do. They come over for dinner. They socialize with my wife and my kids. And you stand there and you use this to your advantage. You're no different than Hitler. If you was to come up to somebody and say, let me finish. If he comes up to you and you say, how do you feel about this subject? And all of a sudden they say, well, you know, this is how I feel. And then you take his cane and throw under a truck. You're no different than him. And you want to say homophobic eye? You don't know what it's about, buddy.
I said homo eye. If you've got gay friends and you socialize with them to a great extent, then I would say congratulations to you, because you probably have some latent gay tendencies. Now,
what is that supposed to mean? Like he's not really in love with his wife?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying, would you feel that's true, Edward? And that you probably have an underdeveloped gay eye?
Underdeveloped? It doesn't have anything to do with that.
You don't think you got a homo eye?
But you know what? I'm a very open-minded man. I'm a very educated.
Yeah.
I believe you should take in all the knowledge you can, because knowledge is power.
Let me just ask you the simple question. What did you think of Ronald Reagan as president?
What I think of him? I was brought up hearing the good things. This is how I feel about it. I think he was a good president. There's no man that can make all people happy at all times. Only part of the people, part of the time.
Understood.
And in my opinion, I think that he did the best job at possible with what was dealt to him at this time, and I believe that he shouldn't be downgraded. Yes, there was an outbreak of AIDS during that time, but can one man actually do what it takes to solve all these problems?
The question is just a yes or no. Was he a great president or was he not? Yes or no?
In my opinion, he was.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you something. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now what do you think?
I still think he's a great man.
Yeah,
and I've got gay friends that think he was a great man. And
okay.
I've got friends that think that he's
not. You equivocated.
But that's their choice.
You know what?
But
you equivocated when I first asked you that question, give me all kind of reason, and that's because my gay eye was on you, and you were nervous about it.
Nervous?
Yes, sir, because you were given all kind of reason and this and that and everything else. Just come out saying, do it, to think he's great.
Well, he says he's great. He believes that he's great.
I believe he's great. I believe he did great things.
Well, you can't see him. Unfortunately, I can't lock... eyeball to eyeball with Edward, so gay eye doesn't work on the phone.
Well, you know what? I've got plenty of friends that's
all
locked
right.
on, and I'm an honest man. I have nothing
to
lie about.
Thank you,
and
sir.
And I'm telling you my opinion 100%.
Appreciate
I listen to the show all the time.
Thank you.
I think it's one of the best programs on the air.
Well,
but the thing
I'm
is,
a gay man and a gay journalist.
No,
okay.
let me go ahead
I'm
and
gay.
Clear my point.
And
my point is, you do not need to highlight the fact that you're gay time and time again, that you're a gay reporter, because what is that doing? You're trying to use this to your advantage. Why don't you speak your opinion?
It is my opinion. I'm simply saying you can't lie to me. I've got gay eye.
You know what? You want me to break down the definition of gay out for you?
You guys laughing at me. That just shows me how homophobic you guys are laughing at me.
Let me break out down the definition of gay eye for you. Gay eye to you is something you can use to your advantage to try to better yourself in a way that you think you can.
In other words, you can kind of twist the truth a little bit. Thank you very much, Edward.
That is totally unfair, Phil.
No, that's what's going on here. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger is with me from the Orange County Courier on the question, Ronald Reagan, was he truly a great president? Your poll, you say, conducted... And you called it an impartial poll, found 70% of people in a very conservative area of the country, Orange County, California, said they didn't like the presidency. But you, sir, were intimidating them.
No, I was not, and your homophobia is not going to work on me.
Oh, okay. My homophobia. Michelle, go ahead.
Hi. I just want to say, Doug, you actually used the word intimidated and nervous when you described your encounter with these people. The older man, you said, look him in the eye, and you looked at him and tried, intimidated him a little bit to get him to speak more candidly with you.
Yes, more candidly.
Just a second. With the other caller, you just asked him, did he feel nervous? So basically what you're trying to do is intimidate and make these people feel nervous so that they say what you want them to say.
No, ma'am, they already were nervous. That's what I'm trying to say. They're nervous because they're lying to the gay eye. They're lying to the gay eye.
Wait, why would they be nervous?
Exactly. Why would they be nervous? Because they know they're liars. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Wait,
all right.
If you ask me, what do I think?
You know
about
I'm gay. Weekend? You know I'm gay.
Hey, what you tell me that you're gay and that makes me nervous?
Okay. What did you think of Ronald Reagan? Great president or not?
I really didn't care either way. I didn't really care either way.
See how she's nervous about it? That's a no, basically, because she knows the gay eye. The gay eyes.
No, I just was not politically minded during his term.
I'm just looking for the truth, and that's why I use, and sometimes I put a monocle on it, sometimes I squirt some Visine into it, using the gay eye.
You used the word, you used the word intimidated.
Yeah.
You used the word nervous.
So you're intimidating people, Doug. You're trying to...
All I said was, what do you think of Ronald Reagan? The guy goes, I like him. I go, yeah, well, I'm gay. Now what do you think about it? Now the guy's got to think about it again, because Ronald Reagan, when he was president, AIDS spread like the bad stench of a fart.
What did you do after you threw the guy's cane under the car? Because you said you threw the guy's cane under the car.
That's right. You did, Doug.
Yeah, of course I did. He was going to hit me with it.
Okay, no, he said he was swinging around. He was just standing there swinging around. Why did he hit you? All you said was, I'm gay.
Because he hates gays and he wanted a big gay bash.
Oh, so it's so, like anytime somebody says, I'm gay, he just goes into a frenzy?
Look, ma'am, I'm gay. First of all, you know I'm gay, right?
Right.
Okay, I have been exposed to gay bashing. You get some old guy coming out of a See's candy store, that's a perfect cover for a guy who's an Aryan Nation type.
Wait a second. Some old guy coming out of a See's candy store with a box of candies, and he's actually...
That guy is covering because he's some skinhead who wants to bash a gay guy. Now, Michelle, if I met you on the street, I could make you take off your clothes and dance like a monkey with the intensity of my gay eye. That's how good it is.
Let me ask you this. Did you get the cane for the guy?
What's that?
Did you make this old man lie on the ground to pick up his cane, or did you get it for him?
Why am I supposed to get... So, in other words, if I got a gun away from a guy, I should go and get it and give it back to the guy? Oh, my God.
No. You said that after that exchange, and you gave him the gay eye, then finally he said, oh, well, you know what, you're right, and he shook your hand.
Yes, he did shake my hand, but...
So did you go...
Shaking his hand, he's trying to say in good faith...
No, man, I told him where the cane was. I said, your cane's under there, and he went and he got it.
And so this old man crawled into the car, and you don't see that you're making journalism look... You're making journalists look bad.
Ma'am, look, here's the sequence of events. I said, give me that cane. I threw it under the truck. I said, now, what do you think of Reagan? He said, you know, you're right, he's great. And I said, well, there's your cane. And I said, can I have a chocolate? He said, yeah. And I took the box out of his hand, and I opened it up for him because he was old.
He was friendly, in other words.
Oh, my God, this guy, he was scared.
He offered him his candy, and you made him crawl on the ground for his cane.
That's right. Look, and I like nuts and chews.
All right, look, thank you very much, Michelle.
What?
What? First of all, the old guy had to crawl on the ground for his cane, and then you took the candy out of his hands, took a piece from him.
Well, sure I did. Look, I'm gay.
I got that you're gay. I also know that you got the gay eye. Sometimes you wear a monocle, sometimes you squirt Visine in it, and sometimes you have a contact lens in it, but you've got the gay eye.
Boy, what a gay-bashing, queer-hating...
Yeah, that's me, Doug. For as long as you've known me...
Phil, you can't make a big deal out of this when I say that Ronald Reagan was a great president.
Well, you're saying he's a great president, and then on the other... You're like a lot of people. You qualify it. Yeah, I really like Ronald Reagan, but when he was president, AIDS spread like the stench of a bad fart, is what you said.
Oh, so it's funny that gay people die, huh?
No, man, the examples you bring up. Gay intensity develops within 6 months, but you can get homo eye within a week?
Yeah.
What are we talking about here, man? Impetigo, a rash?
Well, I feel sorry for you. Look, you look at the results of my poll in the Orange County Courier this Sunday. 70% of the people in Orange County don't like Ronald Reagan's legacy as a president. Now, you read it and weep, my man. And while you read that, you weep for yourself, Phil, because you're reading that column with just regular vision, not homo vision.
What a sick, twisted freak. I guess that makes me homophobic, huh, Doug? Yeah, man, I'll read it and weep, because I can only read it with regular straight vision. This is like a superhero, isn't it? Homo eye. There's Doug Danger. You know, you ask somebody a question, hey, what do you think? It's almost like in the old days when people tried to vote and the mobsters were, like, beating them up after they came out. All right, it's 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You're a front log with legs.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up tonight, we're going to talk to a friend of ours, Dave Katz, who's in line on the Capitol Mall right now. Yeah, just 2 seconds, just to check in, just a little, you know, a little slice of life thing, man. No big ding, you know, no big thing. Yeah, thang. That's right. And then we're also going to have a new feature, the follow up. Vernon Dozier was a guest of ours who said he wanted to ask one of his students to marry him right as she graduated from high school 2 weeks ago. We're going to find out what happened. It's a new feature called The Follow-Up. We've got another How to Read a News Story segment, a Kobe update, a Scott Peterson update, and canned obituaries. You realize that when President Reagan passed on, the obituary that you heard was probably written some 2 years ago. We'll be talking about that. All coming up here on The Phil Henry Show. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Pick up our Best Of CD. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. It's Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
I bet you thought Ronald Reagan was a lousy actor. Well, you're wrong. That's right. You're wrong. This is not a comment on his presidency. This is just a comment on his acting ability. Everybody assumes, everyone takes it for granted that he was a grade B actor. Well, I got big news for you. One of the top 10 movies, in my estimation, of all time, not only featured Ronald Reagan, and I'm not kidding you, and I'll tell you about that flick in just a second, but one of the top 10 movies of all time featured, not only did it feature Ronald Reagan, it featured him in a very prominent role, and I'll tell you about the flick. But first, just a Phil Henry moment. A Phil Henry moment of, oh, I don't know, teeth grating. A lawsuit has been brought by civil rights pioneer Rosa Parks against a popular rap group, and it's been set for trial. Outkast, not really a rap group. Outkast is, I consider Outkast to be a modern prototype rhythm and blues group, to be honest with you. In any event, They got a 1998 song called Rosa Parks. It's about the entertainment industry, and its lyrics do, they don't refer to Parks by name. The chorus of the song goes, aha, hush that fuss, everybody move to the back of the bus. A jury trial has been set for January, yada, 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 yada. You know, Rosa Parks, if you know anything about the woman, she was not just a woman who happened to be on a bus one day and happened not to want to give up her seat to an African, to a white man. Rosa Parks was part of a larger movement in Montgomery. The Montgomery Improvement Association, I believe what it was called. It was a very, very early civil rights organization, and she was well aware of the activities of this organization, and it was a campaign, very small and in a very, very early stages, a campaign to begin to exert the civil rights, inherent civil rights of African Americans. What Rosa Parks did that day in that bus was not entirely just happenstance. It was part of a larger movement, and it was certainly in her mind that day that she was very much a part of that movement and was going to effect some kind of a change with some sort of civil disobedience on her part, and along came this white guy, and probably the, you know, one of the biggest days in the history of the civil rights movement, and all that groovy stuff. And so she was a very big part of that, and she is honored to this day, and she should be, and she is one of those people that, when people say great Americans, I mean, she comes to mind. Now, I got no business really sticking my nose into this conversation because I am a white guy, but may I just say this? Would all of you folks in the African-American community, specifically the music business, would you just leave her out of your music because you aren't getting the right fruit plate behind backstage after a show? It doesn't necessarily mean that you're being hosed down by the Birmingham police. Because your manager skimmed an extra 2% last year, and the record company wants you to cut one extra album than what's called for in your deal, it doesn't mean you've been tear-gassed in St. Augustine. It doesn't mean that you've got police dogs that have been set on you in Memphis or Selma. It doesn't mean that you're getting hosed down there off the Selma Bridge. It just doesn't mean that. Now, why can I say that? You're a white man, Phil. How dare you, you know, say any of these things? Well, you know why? Because I'm a little bit older than a lot of the younger people who are putting out this music. Outkast and bands like that, they are black, but hey, you know what? They're young. And guess what? In this instance, age trumps race. What do you think of that? That's right. My age trumps your skin color. I've been around a little bit longer than you, and if you think that the fact that the bouncer or the security at the arena wouldn't let that chick that you met in the bar last night backstage so you can pour a glass of JD and show her just how superstar you really are, that doesn't necessarily mean, dude, that you're being whipped with a rubber hose in the back of some freaking Ku Klux Klan van. It means that babe that you wanted to get backstage, she ain't going to have the pleasure of your company, and it's probably going to save you from a statutory rape charge. Now, what do you think of them apples? And by putting Rosa Parks' name into every freaking song having to do with how you're just so upset with your hoe, and, you know, life just is not treating you good, man, because the man that owns the record company is only giving you, 15 cents an album instead of 14. So you are just the most put upon dude that the world has seen since Nelson Bloody Mandela. Sorry. In the words of one of the great performers of all time, Damon Wayans, homie, don't play that. Rosa Parks. Are you cats kidding or what? Get to the back of the bus. So in other words, when the record company executive, some guy with kind of that curly bozo hairdo and a cigar, yes, he's white, says to you, well, I really love your music. Now, here's how it works, okay? I got to approve all the lyrics. Say, man, what is this, all right? Selma, Alabama all over again, huh? What the hell you think, a black man is some kind of chump? What you going to do, put a dog collar on me next and everything, huh? Call me the N-word and everything?
I know you white people, man. You've been playing me since I was born.
Jesus, man. All I said was, do you want to have lunch at the grill? Or would you like to go to Mama San?
Yeah, right.
Parks claims that Outkast violated her publicity and trademark rights. Well, you know, that's her name. When you start sticking her name on a record, hey, maybe she's got something to say about it. It's no big thing. Or as Dr. Dre would say, it ain't no thing. But I just kind of wanted to jump in. Because with the perspective of time, some of the things that I've seen and some of the things I've heard, what passes for rights violations these days, I mean, in other words, what we have here is one of the most tender-ass generations that has ever come along. I've said this before. I mean, the tender asses on half of the people out there, what did you just say? I just said I like the color of your car. Oh, so in other words, you are some kind of a fascist that's into internal combustion engines? Well, you dirty stink. I mean, when are people going to lighten up? You know, there is a thing called lightweight or light touch, as in, hey, next time put some booze in it, light touch. A lot of these cats are just light touch. Lightweight. That's what we used to call in my day, lightweight. You know, if somebody breaks your castanets a little bit and everybody's, oh, that's a violation of my rights as a woman, a gay, a black, a brown, a red, a pink, an orangutan. Don't use her name. You want to start complaining about your life being a big rock star? Then go tell it to, I don't know, go tell it to your accountant. What are you trying to tell your fans that? You know, you really love it when these bands start getting into how the record company's a slave driver. Yeah, it must be really rough. You know, once a punk, always a punk. And these guys that are now living pretty damn good as the result of being very good artists and making a good living at it, and they're still walking around packing, and they're like, there's gunplay out in the streets of New York and Las Vegas. What are you guys, still playing cops and robbers? You still playing it being a badass? I guess there's only one thing for me to do. I got to go down there now, and I got to kick Andre 3000's ass. 1-800-449-8666. Anyway, I'll tell you about, honest to God, one of the top 10 movies ever made, and it had Ronald Reagan in it. I love it. I would own it today if I could find it. It was lent to me by a friend. I watched it. Blows me away. I'll tell you about it in a minute. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, David Katz live from Washington, D.C. He is online right now on the Capitol Mall. He anticipates, I spoke to him, what time did we talk to him? About 5 p.m. Pacific, so it was 8 o'clock Eastern. And at 8 o'clock Eastern, he anticipated another 10 hours in line to view President Reagan's casket. We're also going to have a follow-up with Vernon Dozier, brand new feature. And a new feature, the most recent weak attempt at planting a virus in my computer. Coming up on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm going to tell you about this Reagan flick, but I there's something that I've been meaning to say, and it's just simply this. There is a lot of approval of Ronald Reagan as the greatest president that we ever had, and that's not true. What he did do, though, was this. He reestablished the kind of presidency that we all had grown accustomed to and that we had missed with Jimmy Carter, not because Carter was a bad guy, but because he was a little too folksy for the tastes of an American electorate that was used to having the big daddy president who was all powerful and all strong, and more importantly, a war veteran. Now, if you think about it, I don't know how many people are listening to me, but just about everybody listening to me right now was born after World War II. Most of you born after Vietnam. But those of us who grew up in that period grew up in a time that was, you know, easy. It was very easy for us, the baby boomer kids, to run around and talk a lot of crap and drop a lot of acid and smoke a lot of weed because we always knew back home was big, strong daddy, the war veteran. I mean, this is a generation of men that had been through World War II, and we had presidents that were the same. We had Eisenhower was the general during the Second World War that ran the entire Allied operation in Europe. We had Kennedy, who was a PT boat captain in the United States Navy and was, in fact, instrumental in saving the lives of his men when his boat got split in half by a Japanese destroyer and had a bad back as the result of it. I mean, he saw some pretty serious action there. Lyndon Johnson saw service in the Second World War. Richard Nixon was stationed in the South Pacific, I believe, in the United States Navy in the Second World War. Gerald Ford, I believe, was... I don't know if Carter was actual in combat, but I think he was in the submarine service. I mean, that's almost, I don't know, 30-some years of pretty constant daddies there to protect us kind of presidents, and all of our dads were kind of the same way, and that's why we could get away with squirreling around and acting like jackasses. Because we always knew that there was a real anchor. I mean, honest to God, if we really were serious about the peace, love, and dope thing, well, then we'd still be living on a commune, right? But we ain't, man. We're investing in Wall Street because ultimately that's what mommy and daddy taught us, and they knew best because they kicked the Germans' asses. So they know what's up. And on top of that, all those presidents were the same. Now along comes Ronald Reagan after the 4 years of a well-meaning but hopelessly outpaced President Carter. Along comes Ronald Reagan. And he was all of those things except he was kind of... I don't know. It was like he was the actor version of it. See, Reagan didn't see any combat in World War II. He was, because of poor eyesight, denied active service in the military. But I think the Army or the Air Force sent him to Hollywood to make propaganda movies. But he very much wanted to be that because he remembered those kinds of presidencies, and he wanted to be that kind of president, not because he wanted the veneer, but because he felt that those were the best kind of leaders. Those were the guys that were strong. Those were the ones that motivated a country. So he set about creating for the American people like a replication, I think was the word I was looking for. He was a replica of a post-war president. And really, just as effective. I mean, people thought that he... You know, walk the walk and talk the talk. I'm sure on some level he did. But there wasn't in Ronald Reagan, folks, there wasn't in him the worldly experience of someone who had faced the kind of life and death decisions that some of the other presidents had. However, he was a good enough, and that's why people called him the great communicator. If you want to be negative about it, that's why people called him an actor. He was good enough as an actor to present the face of a man who had. Now, look, we all got it tough, and I'm not trying to denigrate President Reagan's experiences. He grew up in the Depression. He was not a particularly wealthy, wasn't born into a very wealthy family. He had to scrabble, you know, scrap for everything that he ever had. But he consciously, in 1980, created for us a replication of the kind of Eisenhower-Kennedy presidencies that marked, in some people's minds, the high point of post-war America. You know, like I said, we had these real wartime presidents like Eisenhower and Kennedy and Johnson and Nixon and Ford and Carter and all of our moms and our dads and all of that stuff. Reagan was a duplication of all of that. You ever have a car restored, or what do they call it, a car replicated? It's not really the real thing. It's not really using the real parts. That was kind of Ronald Reagan. And it was good. It was tough, and he did the job, man. I mean... if you want to ask yourself seriously, were there things that he let down on? Yeah, AIDS was one of them. Another, though, as important, he didn't have any real long-term vision, because if he did, he would have recognized the danger the country was already in with regard to international terrorism. And he would also recognize the danger that the country was in when you continue to deficit spend without any real idea as to how it is you're going to get yourself out of the hole. Yeah, I understand the GNP grows and everything gets beautiful, baby. But there was a whole lot of that deficit spending going on in the 80s, meaning, what does that mean? We're spending money we didn't have to build up the military so we could kick the Russians' asses. And that's a good thing, and I'm glad the Soviet Union ain't around anymore. There is some question, though, and you have to consider all of these things. There is some question today as to whether the Soviet Union was ever really as powerful as we thought they were? And did we need to spend the kind of money that we did to get rid of those guys? Were they the big threat, or was it really the emerging terrorist threat that we saw in the early 1980s with Hezbollah destroying the lives of some 300 Marines in Beirut and already murdering Americans abroad? Maybe if we had a little more sense about it, we would have seen that as the emerging threat, and we wouldn't have had to live through 9/11. Meanwhile, the Soviet Union would have collapsed of its own ineptitude. Keep in mind that in 1980, we got a good, long, hard look at Soviet military ability. It was called Afghanistan, and it was an utter disaster. If you think Iraq is a quagmire, you ain't seen nothing, baby. You ought to read up on Afghanistan. The Russians were completely outclassed. They were tactically outmaneuvered, operationally, everything, by a bunch of Mujahideen in the mountains with RPGs and rifles. And guess where the Mujahideen learned their stuff? You got it, the CIA. So, if you want to talk about America getting bogged down in Iraq just the same way that the Soviet Union did in Afghanistan, remember that you're talking about the Russian army versus the United States military. Big difference. We taught those guerrillas in the hills of Afghanistan everything they freaking know. The United States isn't bogged down in anything near a quagmire, and we're certainly not involved in anything near the disaster, the utter disaster of Afghanistan, when did the Soviet Union pull out of Afghanistan? Was it 88? 8 years, they lost almost as many men as we did in 15 years in Vietnam. Thousands and thousands every year. They weren't the big bad guys that we thought that they was.
See?
So that's just a couple of little things to keep in mind when you talk about Ronald Reagan. How great was his presidency? Yeah, he put a big fat smile on everybody's face. He did a lot of the things that we needed to have done to make us feel better. And like I say, I can't get over the feeling that when I look at Reagan, I look at a guy who was more of a replication of that post-war president that was Eisenhower or Kennedy or even Nixon, more than the real thing. But be that as it may, that's not to denigrate the man's achievements, nor the real affection that people have for him, and he deserves all of the accolades and more that he's getting. He's a president who has passed on, and every president should have a state funeral, the likes of which Reagan is having, even though Nixon didn't get one because, well, there was a thing called Watergate. But anyway, you realize Nixon didn't get this, right? Why do you think Nixon didn't get it? Because of the whole stink around Watergate. All right, coming up, David Katz live from D.C. online to see President Reagan's casket. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm going to have David Katz on the line from Washington, D.C. He's about to go through a security check, at which point he has to turn his cell phone off, but then he can turn it back on. It is somewhere in the line in the Capitol Mall area. If you know the Capitol Mall, that's that big grassy thing where the one end is the Washington Monument, the other is the Capitol Building. Well, in that big round Capitol Building thing is where President Reagan is, and everybody's in line going down that big grassy thing. So, David, as soon as he goes through security, then we'll get him back on the horn and talk to him about, I don't know, what it's like to stand in a line. Gee, sexy, Phil. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's, So what do you do? I don't know. I'm standing here. What do you want me to say? And is there anything, like, what do you see? Other people. Okay. Where are you going? Up to the Capitol to see the, I got to get going, Phil. All right, thanks a lot. That was David Katz in Washington. All right, here is Steve Bozell from our show yesterday. This was an amazing interview with a man who has threatened to sue me. Mr. Bozell named me in a lawsuit. He went in for a root canal at his dentist's office, apparently. And Steve asked the doctor if he'd heard the funny stuff on the Phil Henry Show. And apparently the dentist hates my show and proceeded to drill Steve extra hard, causing him great pain. Meanwhile, in the middle of all of this, Steve incorrectly identifies the Howdy Doody show as the Howdy Dudley show. Here's a caller who thinks Steve needs to be a little bit more, what's the word? He needs to be more, he needs help.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Sir, you know, I'm not going to laugh at you. I pity you. You know, people, anyone with any type of common sense knows that someone with an infected tooth is to take antibiotics 3 to 5 days prior to going to the dentist because it causes inflammation and...
Yeah, I know all of that. What's that got
you know
to do
all
with,
of that.
What's that got to do with the price of tea in China?
Well, the price of tea in China is, if you were in the dentist's seat and he has given you your correct amount of antibiotics, which I'm sure he has because the show hasn't been talked about until you got in the chair, then you were in no pain, sir. Because the antibiotics will take care of infection number one.
I'm talking about how the dentist treated me. I ain't talking about the pain that I'm in. He sticks me in a chair and he wants to dig it in so good, man.
Well, boo-hoo. God. You know what? Boo-hoo. You know what?
Boo-hoo.
I tell you what? Yeah, boo-hoo. You know what? You're taking your deal.
Are you a dentist? You sound like a dentist.
Your little kindergarten teacher, your little teacher back in the whatever grade. You're taking that and you're reliving that. And what it is, sir, you don't need to hire a lawyer. You need to hire someone in the mental health field to take care of your situation.
All I said was I like the Howdy Doodly show, and she slapped me across the face because her son died looking at Howdy Doody.
She probably slapped you across the face because you peed your pants. Probably.
Hey,
the truth was known.
You know
it
something,
has
sir?
Nothing to do.
I bet
sir,
you're a dentist.
Sir,
I bet you anything you're a dentist, sir.
Country.
Are you not a dentist, sir?
Country.
Are you not a dentist, sir? You're a dentist, aren't you? Aren't you a dentist? Because you sound like the sadistic type. Forgive me for saying that.
Well,
for you to say,
forgive me. I'm sorry. When you go to the grocery store, are you scared of a bagger because they didn't double bag your ice cream or something? You know, you've got to. You have to. This
some
is
of us,
the day of accountability. You have to be accountable.
I want to ask a question.
You
here.
Have to be accountable of your own actions and your feelings, my friend.
When the Howdy Doodly
accountable.
Okay. I want to jump in. The show's called the Howdy Doody Show, not Howdy Doodly.
Forgive me, sir, but what I'm trying to say is that this dentist waved that drill over my face. He knew that it put fear. And I'm so afraid now to tell anybody that I like the Phil Henry show because what the restaurant gives me food poisoning, a policeman charged me with murder. What more could happen? What more
could happen? What could happen, sir, is you could take your medicine.
Are you trying to?
You can take your medicine and you can lay down.
Well, I did.
That's what's wrong with this country right now is it's the rot.
I want to hear
that people think they can get anything from anybody because he hurt my feelings. Let me sue him.
There are lawyers
out there that will agree with you.
With all due respect, sir, you are full of you know what to say that a man doesn't have the right.
Now hold on, I want to hear this tape that you have of that moment when the dentist. Can we roll that?
Yeah, roll it.
I don't have it now.
Hold on for a minute. I'm going to roll this now. So you like the Henry Show, huh? Oh, shut up. I haven't even started drilling yet. All right, now that's the...
That's right.
He just clearly says there he hasn't started drilling yet.
So? So what?
So what? What pain, man?
The fact that he said to me, so you like the Henry Show, huh?
All right, it might have been just the guy saying, so you like the Henry Show. So the guy's making a conversation.
Well, what it boils down to is that there are people out there in the world that's going to take advantage of our court system and our Constitution, and they're going to try to twist it and turn it into where something they can get something for nothing. And that's not what this America is. That's not what this America is about.
A kindergarten teacher slapped me across the face because of a Howdy Doody show, and now I'm getting slapped because of the Phil Doody show. I mean, not the Phil Henry show. On account of me lacking it.
Well, all right, look, you know what, sir? We'll let the courts decide, but the fact is that it is an extremely frivolous lawsuit. Shut up.
Oh, you like playing that, huh? You like to hear my door, man? You know what, Mr. Henry? you can go straight to where the spit goes in the dentist office.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, when I saw that line yesterday, you can go straight to where the spit goes in the dentist office, I was thinking barbecue spit, and just now do I realize spit as in spit into the... Mark wrote that line, and I looked, you can go straight to where the spit goes in the dentist. I thought, what, a barbecue spit in the dentist office? Jesus, Henry, how disconnected can you be? By the way, the Howdy Dudley Show was one of my favorites. Howdly Doodly. 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Henry Show. Well, we just received word now from Washington, D.C. that David can't come on with us. Why do I go to all the trouble of teasing these things only to find out that the guy can't come on because the Capitol Police said that he can't use a cell phone? This is nuts. This is absolutely nuts. All night long I've been saying I'm going to have David Katz on. Well, you know what? Here, I'll do it for you. Hey, David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
How is it?
It's just great. I'm having a lot of fun. And
well, have you seen President Reagan's casket?
Yes, I have.
Describe the scene.
Okay, it's a box with a flag on it, and people are crying.
Thanks a lot, David.
You're welcome.
I can stay in line at Starbucks and call you.
Who asked you to even butt into this conversation?
No, I can just pretend.
I don't want you to pretend. I do enough pretend around here. I wanted something real for a change. All I wanted for a change was something real in my life. You know, bud, I'm not a big man, as Ralph Cramden used to say. I'm a little man, bud. A little, little man.
Not from where I'm sitting. Think that Cordis limb ain't kicking in.
All right.
You got your feelings hurt? Look, when we gonna do the obituary bit?
We'll do the obituary bit when we come back. Reagan's obituary was canned, as you know, and we're going to talk about canned obituaries. Oh, and I got to talk about the Ronald Reagan movie that's the greatest thing that I've ever seen. Okay, why don't I do that right now? I got about 3 minutes before the break. Here we go, because I've been meaning to tell you about this. Let me tell you about a flick. You got to see this. This movie, because I was thinking about this today, and I've been hearing what a lousy actor Reagan is. You have got to see The Killers. The movie is called The Killers. It was made in 1964. It stars, among others, Lee Marvin. Now, if you know anything about Lee Marvin, I mean, the ultimate tough dude, actor. I mean, he was the hard ass before the hard asses. John Cassavetes. There's also an appearance by Angie Dickinson and Ronald Reagan. Now, this movie is the most incredible thing you've ever seen because, first of all, I don't want to tell you what it's about. It's just going to give it away. It's based upon Ernest Hemingway's short story called The Killers. But be that as it may, because I know a lot of you don't even know who Ernest Hemingway was. You think that maybe he was the gardener for Muriel Hemingway, huh?
Not funny.
Anyway... what this movie features is a Ronald Reagan you've never seen before. The guy's a bad guy. Lee Marvin plays, and Clu Gallagher plays this psycho killer who is Lee Marvin's sidekick as they go out to try to find out, you know, try to get some information. Meanwhile, Angie Dickinson is this psychopath, and on top of all of this is the big bad dude that Ronald Reagan plays that you don't see until toward the end of the movie named Jack Browning. Now, Reagan plays this guy who, I mean, it's worth the price of admission just to see Reagan call Angie Dickinson baby. As he goes, well, baby, that's the way you want it, baby. Okay, baby. And he beats her up. I mean, he slaps. Dig this. This is a movie. Ronald Reagan slaps Angie Dickinson around. You got to see it. And then Lee Marvin comes in on the scene. And the climactic scene of the film, Lee Marvin is having a running, bloody gun battle with Ronald Reagan. It's freaking fantastic. Now, a very good friend, well, not a very good friend, but a very nice guy named Mike Short lent me the movie, and I watched it. I went, God, this is great. Mike lent me actually two of the best movies I've ever seen. Not only that one, but a thing called The Harder They Fall with Rod Steiger and Humphrey Bogart. But this thing is in color for a lot of my, you know, some of my post-1970 birth babies who, what's with the black and white? It's in color. It stars Angie Dickinson as this psychopath gun moll. It has also Clu Gallagher as a sunglass-wearing psycho killer. I mean, a real freak. The kind of guy who sits there with the sunglasses on going, yeah, yeah, I want to give it to him right in the belly. You know, kind of like Richard Widmark. And then it has Lee Marvin, like I say, in his gravelly, growly, you know, Papa Bear best. And then John Cassavetes, who's really kind of a legend in the so-called independent movie industry, because he made a lot of movies in black and white with handheld cameras, so I guess that makes him, you know. But anyway, his flicks are really cool. Claude Akins, you remember that guy? Hi, I'm Claude Akins for Amco. Remember that? Well, he's in this movie, and he plays a dude named Earl Sylvester. That can only mean a hick. And anyway, Marvin and Gallagher go through this movie trying to achieve some sort of, you know, some sort of finality to whatever it is that they're looking for. I don't want to, if I tell you, I'm going to give the thing away. But Reagan is this tough badass in a suit, and he's the love interest of Angie Dickinson, and he's a big bad gangster, and he smacks her around, and then he gets into a gun battle with Lee Marvin. And I will tell you, at the end of the movie, it's Lee Marvin dragging himself out of Ronald Reagan's house with about 19 bullet holes in him. It's really out of sight. If you can find it, find it. If you got to order it, order it. I got the IMDb plot summary here. Supposedly based on the short story by Ernest Hemingway, in this film noir, two hitmen... Well, I better not read it to you because it'll tell you what it's about. This is one of the movies... You know, I got no problem telling you what movies are about, but this one I'm a little shy. It doesn't have... wait a second. Maybe it is available at Amazon.com because it's got VHS and DVD, and I think you can punch and buy it. So that's a beautiful thing. And it was directed by Don Siegel, who directed Invasion of the Body Snatchers and Dirty Harry, among other great movies. So if you get a... seriously, man, you watch this, you'll never again think of Ronald Reagan as a lousy actor. Never. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, canned obituaries. Is this what you want to do, bud?
Yeah, I've been waiting all night to do it.
Good for you. We'll be right back at the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, you're aware of the fact that Reagan's obituary, the obituary you heard on the national news, was canned. And what does that mean? It means it was written 2-3 years ago. Many of the elderly personalities in our midst, their obituaries have been already written, Bob Hope, because they want to get something up there fast. They don't want to have to say, well, what are we going to do? We have to do research. No, you get the research out of the way, and then you can plug in the date that he died, and you can plug in any other kinds of information. What is that, David? Yes, David? You there, David?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil.
Did you want to say something?
Well, I knew that you wanted to talk a little bit about the Reagan obituary, and Bud and I wanted you to know that we also have a canned obituary for you.
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
What do you mean, of course?
Well, what if you die?
What do you mean, what if I die? I'm 51 freaking years. I ain't no old man yet. What am I going to die from?
Jesus, Phil.
I mean, everybody knows you're on Cortislim. You could die of a heart attack.
Well, I'm on Cortislim. I ain't going to die of a heart attack, am I?
What about lung cancer?
I ain't going to get no lung cancer.
Well, we got a canned obituary anyway.
So you guys can just roll it out there if I croak?
Yeah!
Of course! We gotta have a canned bituary.
A canned bituary.
It's bitching.
So anyway, we want to play it.
Well, I don't want to hear myself...
Well, you don't have any choice. We're going to play it. And it's very respectful.
Yeah, Phil, it really is. It's very nice.
You're sure?
It's very decent and very respectful. And I think it, you know, tells about the man what you are.
It's very good, Phil, honest to God. I wouldn't insult you.
All right.
Can I roll it?
Yeah.
All right, here's Phil Hendry's obituary.
I got chlamydia. That is compelling radio.
Phil Hendry.
and a jacuzzi.
Okay, poke your cat with a fork.
Ah, my butt itches. Did you want to have a frosty one? Well, that don't sound smart to me. Are you kidding me?
C-H-I-C-O. Go Chico!
Man, I can see that. I can see that. I can feel it. I can taste it.
It's a big dew sandwich, and we all gotta take a bite.
Are you down with the gay or not? Yeah.
I don't even mind eating a little Far East tonight.
Can I get my home phone number out?
Do you ever eat your own boogers?
Give up the rump shaker.
Okay, enough said, man.
What do you mean? No! You.
I tell ya, I...
Stop embarrassing yourself, sir. Oh, what a delicatessen.
Phil Henry, he died.
Well, what'd you think?
What do you mean, what do I think? What do you...
What are you angry about?
What am I angry about? That's what you're going to put on the air if I die? That's my obituary?
Yeah, it had a lot of comment from people.
Comment from people? Give up the rump shaker? And Phil Henry, he died.
What a bitter creep.
1-800-449-8686. The world... And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
This hour, a brand new feature, the most recent weak attempt at planting a virus in my computer, and the follow-up with Vernon Dozier. It ought to be interesting to find out how Vernon is doing. He was on our show last week talking about how he, as a high school math teacher, was looking forward to the graduation of the high school seniors at his school because he was intent on asking one of those seniors, a young lady named Saxon, to marry him as soon as she got her diploma. He's 56, she's 18. What happened? Did he ask her to marry him? Well, pardon me, I'm just entering in the name. I'm actually entering in two things into a Google search engine, fat ass plus Michael Moore. And I just want to see. No, I'm actually entering in the term film industry professionals plus Michael Moore to see if there's any matches. Nope, there aren't any. No, I'm kidding. Actually, I want to find out what is meant by that term in the midst of our next story. It is this week's How to Read a News Story on the Phil Hendry Show. Now, what is this feature about how to read a news story? As I often say, you have to know how to read news these days because there is no such thing as an objective news report. Every single reporter out there has a point of view that they're trying to sell. Maybe at one time there were objective reportings of the news. And what is that? Well, there's five questions that you have to answer when you are a journalist. Perhaps you heard about them when you were in English class, in journalism class you do. What are those five questions? Who, what, when, where, and why? These are the five things that is, any good journalist, who, Michael Moore, what, fat ass, when, I don't know, where, everywhere, why, good question. No, you know, just, so the story today that we're dealing with, film industry gives controversial Iraq film an ovation. Well, naturally, that piqued my interest. Film industry gives controversial Iraq film ovation. The whole film industry. I mean, that's a lot of people. That's thousands and thousands, billions and billions of people. Who were the people that gave it the standing ovation? Who are the members of the film industry that gave it the standing ovation? Well, I've got a list of some of them so we can describe who exactly is the film industry. What do you think the film industry is? Do you think it's actors? Do you think it's the executives who, quote, greenlight a project? Is it the grips and the gaffers and the guys that pull cable and the cameramen and the camera women and the camera people? Director Michael Moore's controversial anti-Iraq war film Fahrenheit 9/11 won a standing ovation on Tuesday night from an audience of film industry professionals. Now that's slightly different from the headline, isn't it? Ooh, first it's telling me the whole film industry thinks his movie is a fantastic thing. Now they narrow it down a little bit. It's just an audience of film industry professionals. Let me name off some of the names that are film industry professionals. Ashton Kutcher. Now, my question is this. What movie has he been in? Dude, Where's My Car? All right, yeah. One of the big all-time smash. Gone with the Wind, Space Odyssey 2001, monster feature films. Dude, Where's My Car? Look, Ashton Kutcher's a cute kid. He does the show Punked, which is basically a lift of a show that John Tyndale had come up with. John's a producer over at Channel 9, and it's also all of that stuff basically is a lift of my stuff, because when I got on the air in 1996 in Los Angeles, it wasn't nobody doing any punk stuff. We started punking people every night on my show, and the next thing you know, all of a sudden we got the Jamie Kennedy experiment and every other kind of candid camera lift. Boy, Phil, what an ego you've got to think that you actually spawned it. Well, hey, I can trace it, man, to the day that we got on the air here, and people start calling me from the television business saying, well, it's pretty funny what you do there, Mr. Henry. And I could mention a lot of other examples, but I don't want to do it. Okay. Film industry professionals also include Matthew Perry. Well, I mean, he's a good cat. He was on TV. I guess he was in that one really bad movie. Any movie that any Friends cast member has been in has been passably malodorous at best. I mean, can you honestly say to me that Matthew Perry is a film industry professional? I'm not saying the guy ain't an actor. I didn't say that. Okay? Moving along to some of the film industry professionals that are listed here, we have the name David Duchovny. Now, I saw him in like two movies, and that's all. Not that he ain't a film actor, since he was in a couple of film movies, but to say that he's an industry professional, it's like saying that because I actually was present at a dissection of a cadaver. What does that make me, the freaking mortician of LA County? With Billy Crystal, Miramax chief Harvey Weinstein, and dozens of A-list movie stars, Ashton Kutcher, Matthew Perry, and David Duchovny. And by the way, we're huge Ellen DeGeneres fans here, but I'm sorry, she ain't no A-list movie star. So that leaves who? Norman Lear? The cat did a TV show, man. He's not in the movies. All right, come on, Henry. There's got to be some movie people there. Yes, there are. There's some movie people listed here. Viggo Mortensen, Jodie Foster, Sharon Stone, Larry David, Jack Black, Diane Lane, who I think is like so hot, I want to tear my shirt off and start to just lacerate myself with razor blades over the knowledge that I'll never get within, well, at least the 100 yards that the court allows me to be within her thing range. And
give it up.
All right, well, I was trying to. Martin Sheen and Leonardo DiCaprio. Drew Barrymore was quoted as saying, I never come to premieres, but I'm so here on this one. I never come to premieres, but I'm so here on this one. Thank you, because I wasn't quite sure if you were actually here. I knew I could see you physically. No, I'm so here. All right, good. Thank God, because I thought perhaps there might be some out-of-body stuff going on, that your body's here, but you're still back, like your mind is still back over there at the old world, sucking on a latte or whatever it is you do. A lot of us look to Michael Moore to uncover the real truth, said Cameron Manheim, who says she has received death threats for voicing her political views. No, Cameron, you've only received death threats for not getting out of the doorway and letting the other 800 people get into the restaurant. Are you kidding me? Are you people serious? Death threats for voicing your political views? When have you ever expressed a political view? What show is she on? L.A. Law?
The Practice.
The Practice. You're on The Practice. It's a show that's watched by a few people. You ain't no A-list movie star. And to actually look to Michael Moore to uncover the real truth, this guy does what any political satirist does. He twists the truth to make his point of view seem like the truth. Only real political satirists twist the truth just to show a side to how to view things, right? Not necessarily say this is how it is, but hey, here's how I see it, and let me just have some fun with facts, man. That's what a satirist does. Fun with facts, okay? It's kind of like a romper room game. Michael Moore is a guy that when he wants to be a satirist, he is. When he wants to be a documentarian, he is. To say that this guy is uncovering the real truth, the only thing Michael Moore wants to uncover, okay, is where that extra box of frickin' Krispy Kreme went when Cameron Manheim was visiting the other night. What do you want, David?
Why are you going to do the fat jokes?
Just let me do this bit.
Yeah, but it's always with the fat jokes.
I'm going to do the fat jokes. You know why I do the fat jokes? Because I think it's a compliment. Yes, I do. I think it's a compliment. I think it's a compliment on Michael Moore, how he can be so agile with that camera, so deft, so quick of wit, with all that fat pressing on his frontal lobes. I'm so here on this one. Why, man? Because it'll validate your worldview that you are an A-list film professional and therefore are a A-list liberal kind of a person, although many of us are liberals and we don't necessarily fall for every bit of excrement that drops out of Michael Moore. And by the way, if you've seen clips of the trailer, this guy is, I mean, the movie is about Michael Moore. In case you've missed any of Michael Moore's films, they're basically about him. They're about how he has decided this issue should be seen. And if he has to take a speech, cut it up, take it out of context, take it out of the proper chronological form and context, make something happen that didn't happen, have somebody say something, have a whole bunch of woo explosions. Look, dude, it's Hollywood. You so-called A-list professional, I think you guys would get that, right? Are you trying to tell me, working in the film industry, that when you sit down Drew Barrymore and you look at Michael Moore, yeah, I realize that your idea of high Hollywood entertainment is Charlie's Freaking Angels and that Demi Moore was going to bail that franchise out. Woo-hoo! How wrong you were. And then Michael Moore, what is he, like serious art to you? Like you're looking at Jean-Paul Sartre? Like that other French cat? In other words, Michael Moore, he's the next best thing to some French auteur. He's the next best thing to some frog with a camera and a beret going, I don't know, the way I love to view my films is very non-linear. I'm not American, I'm European. I look from the context of a continent that is... Oh, shut up. Watching the reaction of the famous viewers during the screening was almost as entertaining as viewing the film itself. Boy, I'll bet. DiCaprio, in between scoops of ice cream, laughed at a clip showing Britney Spears pledging her trust in Bush, while unflattering sound bites from the president drew gasps from Stone and Tomei. Hey, you want a real laugh, DiCaprio? Look at every movie you've ever done other than Catch Me If You Can. Any movie you've ever done, take a look at you in those movies. You'll giggle, man, as you try to actually lend some realism to an otherwise what could have been a really great film, like, for instance, Titanic. You, man, oh, God, if they would have left you out of that flick, that flick would have made even more money. You doing that dance on that tabletop, and then that whole, this is it, hold on, as the ship goes down into the, what? Do you see Leonardo DiCaprio in The Gangs of New York? Boy, he's so realistic as a gang member, isn't he? He's just, I don't know whether I want to fight him or have sex with him. What other flicks has he been in? The Basketball Diaries that everybody tells me was great. I saw it. Oh, my God, was it boring.
Gilbert Grape.
Huh? Gilbert Grape. That was his big critical breakthrough. Sucks. You suck, man. Other than that, Catch Me If You Can, Spielberg put you in the only movie where you actually, were a lot of fun to watch, okay? Playing some slimy huckster. And then he was on, was he on Growing Pains? Well, no wonder I can't stand the guy. Growing Pains, I'd rather have my eyes put out than watch that show. Just knowing that it was on the air, I'd rather go blind. Stark raving blind. I'm just kidding. So that's the film industry professionals that we are told gave a standing ovation, and therefore the entire film industry gave a standing ovation to the Michael Moore film Fahrenheit 9/11, The Temperature at Which Fat Sizzles. How do you like Cameron Manheim being quoted? Boy, you talk about two peas in a pod, or should I say two bowling balls in a gutter. I look to Michael Moore for the truth. I got a great idea for you, Cameron. Why don't you read a book? Why don't you read some periodicals? Why don't you go interview somebody other than Fatso there? And that scene in the movie where he's driving in front of the Capitol building with the loudspeaker going,
"People of Congress, this is Michael Moore."
Okay, yeah, all right. Well, I guess I better pay attention now.
Have you even read the Patriot Act?
I don't know, Michael, have you? Hey, Moore, I got $1,000. I got $1,000. In fact, I got a week's paycheck that says Moore ain't read the Patriot Act. He had somebody read it for him. And then they gave him the highlighted parts, which would make his point of view seem really logical and sensible. In other words, he took the Patriot Act and just took out the parts that he thought really sucked, and now he thinks he's read the Patriot Act. I got a week's paycheck, Moore, against one of yours, which I stand to make a whole lot of money, I think, judging by the box office receipts on that flick, which, by the way, you're no war profiteer, are you, dude? No, not at all. You're just making millions on this movie that says you've never read the Patriot Act. I have. And it's boring.
People of Congress, this is Michael Ooh. Hold on a minute.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
It's time now for our feature, The Follow-Up. Vernon Dozier was on our show last week talking about wanting to marry one of his students as soon as she graduated from high school. He, a 56-year-old math teacher, she, the high school senior named Saxon. We're going to play you a clip from that show, and then we'll be talking to Vernon live this evening and find out how things went.
Well, he's sick. He's a pervert.
Hey, wait a minute. The girl's 18. That don't make me a pervert. She's
you
legal.
Know what?
She's legal.
All you want is sex.
Oh, does that
but
make me
you
a perv?
Know what? It's going to backfire on you. She's not going to want you.
It backfires on me.
She's not going to want you, and she don't want you now.
Wait,
you know, that's your sick mind. You're a sick man.
How do you figure she's not going to want me?
She don't want you because you know what? Your conversation ain't even right.
Well, what does that mean? I don't understand my conversation ain't right.
You sick.
Well, maybe I couldn't sweet talk.
You are all pervert.
Hey, you know what? You don't like my conversation, but that's fine with me because I don't think I'd take you to a bullfight. But this girl is.
All right, no need to insult the lady.
Well, she's insulting me.
I'm telling the truth.
Hey,
about
let me ask you a question seriously. Have you got a glass eye?
No, sir.
You ain't got no plastic leg?
No, sir.
Too bad.
Yeah, it's
otherwise
too
I,
bad for you.
Otherwise,
you
I
know what? That's probably how you look
me.
With a glass eye and a fake leg. But you a sick pervert, and you need some psychological.
I don't know what neighborhood you come from, but 18's old enough. I'll tell you right now, that father owes me $6.80 for footlong.
You 57 years old. You can't do nothing.
Hey, I'm gonna ask that girl to marry me. Get her over to my apartment in Tarzana.
She ain't gonna do
the do and the funky chicken too, and then tomorrow morning we're off to Monterey.
You sick.
I may be sick, but I'll tell you what, if I'm sick, hell, I hope I die from what I got.
You know, Vernon, it is increasingly sounding like...
The guy owes me $6.80 for a foot-long tuna with extra pickle.
All right, well, there you go. That was last week. On the line with me from Terminal Island, which is a federal detention center, is Mr. Vernon Dozier. We played a clip from our interview last week, Mr. Dozier. Obviously, things have not worked out favorably.
No, sir, they have not.
What happened?
Well, what happened was that her father, as I said, got involved. He has, and my attorney is going to be talking with his attorney about $6.95. It was a foot-long tuna with the pickle and the...
Can we get off of that? Because, I mean...
No, we're not going to get off of that because that's... what happened was...
All right, my understanding was that she came off the stage, you asked her to marry her. What did she say?
It doesn't matter what she said. It's the fact is I said, will you marry me? And then I grabbed her and I put her into the truck because there were a lot of... Her father was over and I could see that. I got her over to the hotel, Twin Dolphin. I wanted to get her to my apartment. And I wanted to get started.
And when you say you wanted to get started, what does that mean?
Well, three guesses and the first two don't count. Okay? Look, I'm in prison right now, and I'm not going to take any lip from some talk show.
Three guesses and the first two don't count. So what I understand was the Pasadena police were at the motel.
There were four radio cars there, yes, sir. And all of a sudden, here's this cop. Okay? And he's, you know, you're under arrest for kidnapping. And I said, well, you can kiss my ass on the county line. And that's when I knew I was on the hood, and then I was on the pavement, and both my hands were very tightly handcuffed, and I was turned over to federal authorities, and I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Kidnapping's a federal offense.
I didn't kidnap anybody. She wants to marry me.
Hey, man, you got to get ready now.
Oh, I got to go.
Why?
They're greasing up the broom handle again.
God!
Well, man, you should have known.
I've been going easy this time, guys.
No, man. Right here.
I'm sorry, I gotta go.
Vernon Dozier on our follow-up Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Ouch. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we promised you earlier this evening we talked to David Katz in Washington, D.C. We have him on the line. We couldn't get him because the security at the Capitol building there precluded him from using his cell phone. That's just the way life is these days. And let me also apologize to the many film industry professionals for the following segment. We're going to be talking about Ronald Reagan's being honored in Washington. Okay, so it ain't exactly like, say, Sharon Stone weeping tears when Michael Moore goes,
"People of Capitol Hill, it's Michael Moore."
You know, no wonder she was crying. Because she suddenly realizes that Michael Moore thinks she's got a serious thing for him, and that's probably, for a woman like Sharon Stone, almost paralyzingly frightening. Because Moore says to his assistant, "I could sleep with Sharon Stone, couldn't I?" And the assistant is supposed to say, "Yes, you could, Mr. Moore, otherwise he's fired." All right, anyway, let's get David Katz on the phone here from Washington, D.C., our very good friend David. Hi, David.
Hey, Phil.
And you were just online for how many hours there through the Capitol Mall into the Capitol building to see the president's bear and his casket?
I think it was about 6 hours. I don't know what it is, 12:30 here?
It's 12:35, yeah.
Okay, so I got online at about 6:30.
So that's about what it was in Simi Valley. Now, tell me about the mood of the crowd. Out here in California, everybody was cool. Everybody was hanging with each other. Nobody was cutting in line. Nobody was being rude. Same thing?
Yeah, everyone was incredibly well-behaved, orderly. The first 4 hours, we were far away from the Capitol, behind the Capitol reflecting pool, and there was a lot of conversation, and you're talking to the people next to you.
Right.
But once you passed the Capitol reflecting pool and actually got to the sidewalk in front of the Capitol where I am now, then the mood decidedly changed. People began to get a little bit more quiet. And then we went through the last checkpoint when I had to get rid of my my backpack and the cell phone. And then from the walkways up through the Capitol, nobody said a word. Nobody said a word.
They were sort of just watching, looking at the surroundings at that point in anticipation of what they were about to view.
Yeah, you're looking up at the, you know, the dome of the Capitol just, I mean, it's awe-inspiring. I don't know, it's just the oldest model of freedom in the world, and you're just looking at it and the majesty of it and knowing what you were about to do, and then you look back over across the reflecting pool towards where we had been waiting, and there were really no words.
Was there a was there a preponderance of either sex? I mean, it sounds silly, but were there more men than women? Was it pretty equally split?
It was equally split, and not only was it equally split among gender, but I am amazed at the number of children and older people. I mean, I couldn't get over how many strollers there were. There were pregnant women who were standing on line for all these hours. I counted at least four different blind people who were there. And you think about that, that, you know, they're waiting on line to see and pay their respects to the president. You know, what must have been going through their minds. But the crowd was from, you know, 6 months old to, you know, I'm sure into their 70s and 80s.
Yeah, it'd be too bad if you saw those blind folks suddenly turn right onto the Smithsonian. And, well, you go the wrong way. Okay. Now, the other thing that I'm interested in, David, that a lot of that you witnessed, and I saw a similar thing when John Kennedy was buried, the procession up Pennsylvania Avenue. Did you not see that with the Cassian and
oh,
the...
absolutely.
Yeah.
It was actually, and it might have been on Pennsylvania at some point, but I saw it coming up Constitution Avenue,
okay. Mm-hmm.
And I was situated at the 3rd and Constitution, which is right in front of the Department of Labor building, and the crowds were plentiful, as you could imagine, and the bands started, and the various segments of the armed forces, and people were applauding and clapping, and then all of a sudden, everybody got quiet. And that's when Mrs. Reagan came by, and you could see her in the car window, and you just wonder what the heck is going on in her mind. But everybody was incredibly quiet as the caisson rolled by.
Now, a caisson is for people. We're talking about a horse-drawn, sort of flatbed carriage of some kind, upon which is the president's casket. Correct.
Yeah. And as I mentioned to you earlier off the air, what was just so symbolic was the riderless horse,
yeah.
with the boot in the strap, and I mean there's just nothing to say. It really tells you that you know we have lost someone.
Yeah, the riderless horse, emblematic of the warrior who will ride no more, I think is the meaning behind that symbol. Well, I know you got to be, like, dead tired, man. I mean, hopefully your hotel isn't too far away.
Have a hotel.
Huh?
I don't have a hotel.
You're going to get back on the train and go to New York?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, the next train is not until 4 or 5 a.m., so I've got a few hours to kill. Frankly, I didn't think...
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll walk around. There are a lot of people. I didn't think I was going to get through as quickly. I actually anticipated a good 10 to 15 hours wait.
Now, here's the question. How many more people are in line there?
As many as there were. When we were looking back to where we had been when we were in front of the Capitol,
wow.
I mean, I don't know what the numbers are going to be, but they've got to be at least 100,000 people. And they're just moving them so quickly, and they're taking care of them. The Red Cross was out giving water to everybody. In fact, there were as many pallets of bottled water on the sidewalks for people as there were people.
Oh, that's cool. And the food? How are people eating?
There were little vendors, as you can imagine, and the best thing that I had seen probably 5 hours ago was somebody ordered Domino's, and they brought it to somebody online while we were waiting.
Oh, that's cool. So that gave everybody else the same idea, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now, when you get into the rotunda, just so people know, it's a very wide circumference that you're circumventing there as you're kind of traveling the perimeter of that large rotunda, and so are you spending a good long while in there viewing the casket?
Longer than I would have expected. The
right.
Rumor had it, and I don't know how that rumor started online, that they were really just pushing you to get in and out, but they built a circle around the coffin. And as you come up the steps into the rotunda, half go to the right, half go to the left, and you basically get to do a circle around the coffin.
Oh, okay.
And you could stop. There are obviously lots of people who would stop, including myself, say a silent prayer,
yeah.
Would stare. Nobody was pushing anybody to get out. I mean, you couldn't take your eyes off of it, knowing what was going on, knowing that President Reagan was in there, right there, they allowed you to sit and basically take in the moment.
By the way, I remember from President Nixon's viewing at the Nixon Library, there's a lot of members of the former members of the military that will stop and snap a military salute. Now civilians, but nonetheless, he was the commander in chief, and that's a customary thing to see as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I was amazed, maybe I shouldn't have been amazed, at how many military people were online with us.
Mm-hmm.
And from every branch of the service, and obviously once you get up the steps into the rotunda, there were I think one person from each branch of the military surrounding the casket. Actually, we had to stop for about 10 minutes when we were literally outside the rotunda door for the changing of the guard, which I guess happened around midnight Eastern time here.
Yeah, and those guys don't move very fast either, do they? It's a real slow. Procession, or if you will, exhibition of military precision.
Very ceremonial.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's the word I was looking for.
And nobody complained. Again, I mean, we were all sharing a moment together, witnessing history, and it didn't matter what was going on, the delays. We were here, and everybody was glad to be a part of it. And interestingly enough, my legs started shaking once I got out of the Capitol.
Why is that?
I don't know. I guess
I know. You need some pizza.
Certainly. I need some food.
Dude,
I need
you
to
need
sit
food.
Down.
Yeah, you need to sit down.
But
I appreciate it, David, very much. You were going to say one more thing?
I was just going to say, you know, it's just a reflection, I think, of witnessing something afterwards and realizing what you've just gone through and just kind of a bundle of nerves.
Yeah, well, he was an American president, and while we take them for granted, they are the world over viewed as the most powerful men, and even to this day in Iraq, the people of Iraq refer to George Bush as father. I mean, literally, because he has, and to all of us, the president's kind of dad. We were talking about that. It's a patriarchal thing in this country. We like our presidents big. We like them male. And, you know, strong and exhibiting all of those characteristics that good, strong dads exhibit. So anyway, I really appreciate you being there and sharing that with us. And I hope you stroll down the street there to the Hyatt Regency and get yourself a room, dude. It's just a couple of blocks away.
Yeah, I'll just go hang out in Union Station, mingle, see who I can meet along the way.
See who you can mug.
Train back to New York.
All right, brother. David, thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate it, Phil.
Hey, you got it. I appreciate it, too. David Katz, a good friend of ours. David is my agent. But he traveled to Washington, D.C. today by train because he wanted to view President Reagan and was online, as he said, for about 6 hours and is now going to be wandering the streets of D.C. looking, you know, going through empty Domino's boxes, I guess. I don't know what he's going to do. Why wouldn't you get a hotel, you nut? I guess there's no hotels to be gotten, if you want to think about it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So that's very nice. And if you have a chance, if you're in the D.C. area, go over there. You probably won't get in, but go over there. All right, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com, and we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Here is Justin McElroy from our show yesterday on Teen Talk, a feature that we have. And Justin is a high school junior, now senior. And he said that the kids in America, they don't think Reagan was all that great. In fact, they like Clinton a whole lot better. Well, we had a caller call up to say, well, what do you think? Justin, you're a jackass.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm not one to bash presidents and all. And yes, your hero, President Clinton, did some good things. Oh, shut the Van Halen.
Hey, I can't.
Off.
Hey, man, my mom's listening to. What am I supposed to do?
Go to another room.
Well, how about this? Why don't you walk over and rip the cord out of the wall?
Oh, yeah. But, so I'm supposed to be disrespectful to my mother now? I'll put the phone up to my room.
You don't think calling your mom a sex pig is disrespectful? I don't. If she'll let you call her a sex pig, I'm pretty sure she won't mind if you rip plugs out of the wall. But
hey,
listen
Joe,
up for a second.
Listen, I'll put the phone up to the room. My mom and her sex pig friends are in. Listen to this.
Your hero is the...
Are you ready for that?
Yippee. Your hero is Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at this for a second. He did some nice things for the country, but at the same time, he was a draft dodger. Your American hero was a draft dodger.
So?
When he was 21, he went over to the Soviet Union, right there in the middle of a square, burnt the United States flag
and
all his buddies because he thought this was so cool.
So what?
And this is your American hero.
Wait a minute, you're saying so what to all of this?
Yeah, so what?
Whereas a president like Ronald Reagan, who did a lot of reform for this country and did a lot of great things for this country, reformed a lot of stuff, Bill Clinton wouldn't have known what to do with this country.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Okay, you're pretty old, so would you do Nancy?
Don't answer that.
No, I'm asking.
Would I
don't
do
answer
Nancy?
That. Don't
well,
answer that
know,
question.
I don't like wrinkles and all that, so I probably wouldn't do Nancy. My wife would probably get jealous.
Okay, thanks. That's what I'm trying to say.
But that ain't
what
you're trying to say.
You know,
you're not trying to say anything other than to be utterly disrespectful and talk.
Utterly disrespectful?
Well,
you don't even know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about, man? I'm talking about Ronald Reagan. Everybody tells us that we're supposed to be, that, you know, that we're supposed to be in love with this guy, and Clinton was the greatest president everybody knows. And before Clinton, I mean, there wasn't no 9/11 during Clinton. And Reagan, you know. And
your hero almost got impeached from the office.
Big
he
deal.
Was one step from
what?
Being impeached.
Oh, okay. You know what? He got impeached. Why? Because he did a fat girl? Whoa. Big national security violation.
Yeah,
he
broke his responsibilities to get a piece of tail.
When President,
what a hero.
When they asked us to be silent for President Reagan, I did this.
You know something,
you must
kid?
Be on something right now.
The teachers at your school must be imbeciles to have a kid like you represent on the student council.
Hey, the students voted for me, okay? My classmates voted for me.
It doesn't make any difference. If I was one of the student advisors there, I'd pull you off of there.
If you were my son, I'd beat you like an unborn stepchild.
What?
I said, if you were my son, I'd beat you like an unborn stepchild. So why don't you go ahead and jump, do whatever you want to do.
Well,
I've said my piece.
Okay, but listen to what my mother and her friends are doing right now.
I could care less what your mother and your friends are doing. It's probably
costing my mother and my friends
$20.
Okay. It's my mother and her friends, and this is the way the room sounds.
Whatever. You
okay,
don't
you know something,
what you're talking
kid.
About.
You know what? You're an idiot, kid.
Go research your history before you go ahead and say things. Because everything that's coming out of your mouth didn't even go through your brain before it came out.
Okay, but you can't name one thing Reagan did.
He just did.
He reformed Medicare. He reformed Medicaid. He redid the entire structure of the United States.
Listen to that.
Whatever.
My mom and her friends are having a
pig
party.
Well, you have more strength to deal with this guy than I do.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
There's Justin. He can't stand his mother and her sex pig friends. And by the way, Reagan wasn't, he wasn't the big hero for today's Gen X, Y, whatever the hell they are. Echo boomers. It's Clinton. All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's time now for the most recent weak attempts at planting a virus in my computer. I'm sure you've come up against some of these. But I thought I'd update you on the latest effort at somebody without even one nanosecond of a life creating a computer virus to try to get into the computers of the businesses around the city that I live in, and at least when it comes to Phil Hendry, meeting with abject failure. I mean, what do you think you're dealing with here, man? Yeah, that's right. I'm going to open up an email that says, employment, read immediately. Employment, read immediately. That right there tells me virus. And I'm going to delete that thing. I don't give a crap if it's coming from human resources or anybody that has anything to do with the company that I work for. You know, maybe they've got an extra $10 million for me in my paycheck. I could just as soon stroll down to the office and talk to them about it. Now, here's another one I got today. Hey, remember me? Yeah, that's right. From somebody named Job at Home Financial. No. Delete. Then there's always this one, which immediately, if you see an email that you get and it says, read immediately, naturally you're going to open it up and read it, aren't you? No, I'm not. I deleted it, and I never read it. Plus, the guy put there, read immediately, abuse, question mark, like, someone's accused you. And then finally, this one, postmaster, undeliverable. I never open those up, even the legitimate ones. I figure, well, okay, something didn't get through. I'll just resend everything that I sent yesterday. Nice. You know what? I'm really amused and thoroughly entertained by you cats that are trying to send these computer viruses. I mean, seriously, anybody that opens up an email and has a virus in it these days needs serious psychiatric attention and evaluation. Chris. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.